Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Happy Tuesday to you. 35 minutes after the hour. So come on the program. We got Baldwin County Sheriff Huey Osmack joining us. And also Carson Bo Brooks. That's at the 11 o'clock hour. So make sure that you stay tuned. We'll keep an eye on Hurricane Sally as well. You will stay tuned to FM Talk 106.5, FMTalk1065.com for all the latest news regarding the storm. But joining us now, a blast from the past for me, there was a regular on my show up in Huntsville. He's in the state legislature. You may have heard him a few times on these airwaves. State Representative Mike Ball joins us. Mike, how are you this morning?
I'm just doing wonderful. While the whole world goes crazy, I'm just kind of enjoying life, kicking back, watching it go by.
Yeah, well, it seems hectic, more crazier than usual, but you do this long enough and you get desensitized to a lot of it.
Well, I think you recognize that that a lot of this craziness is cyclical. Of course, your listeners in Mobile, they don't know me, but I started out as a young state trooper in 1978 in the 70s. And the 70s was a very tumultuous time, somewhat similar to the 60s and 70s, somewhat similar to this. I would probably say back then it was probably more violent. This is more noisy. We have social media that exacerbates it. And but that being said, you know, there's periods of relative unrest, and then there's periods of calm and growth. I think as society evolves, there has to be some unrest for people to look at themselves and reorganize and reorient, because we all want calm, but reforms generally happen out of periods of unrest, and it looks like we're in a period of unrest, and I don't know how long it will last. But we'll get through it. You know, our country has gotten through much more difficult periods than what we're in right now, and outside of the fear that people feel because of the unknown, this coronavirus hasn't helped it much, but because of this fear that seems to be running in people's hearts, we tend to overemphasize the fear that we're in, and we forget that in history that there have been times when there was much worse things that society was facing than we are now. We're going to get through this. We're going to be okay. And we'll go on to the next thing.
I guess the big thing for me, though, the thing that makes it feel like it's a little different is that a lot of this, it's almost astroturf. Like, a lot of the turmoil in the system is not really turmoil because, I'm not saying totally, obviously there's some bad cops out there. But it feels like it's being ginned up to such a high degree where you do have that bark and whatever you want to call it for the sake of politics, the sake of winning a presidential election. I think that's what kind of is off-putting about it.
Well, the fear is very real. And I will tell you this. I will say the fear that folks in the black community feel, when I first got into law enforcement, and most of my career, I was a young trooper starting out, but most of my career, I was an ABI agent. I investigated a lot of corruption, a lot of improper use of force, and in some uses of force that were justified. The thing is, the problem is when there is a few public officials that improperly use their position and use their force and bully people and hurt people, it puts a taint on everybody. So a good police department has to police themselves. Good prosecutor's office has to police themselves. And if they don't, then the public confidence that everybody suffers, it hurts everybody, and it's hard to get everything calmed down. People on all sides, here's the thing, when we start talking about law enforcement, enforcing the law, that has got to be as non-politicized as possible. And what happens is when those things begin getting politicized, then the public loses confidence in it. And I will tell you that a lot of the fear, it's not without merit, but by the same token, when you're afraid of something, you tend to attribute everything to what it is you're afraid of. I hope I'm not talking in circles, but this is a very complex thing, and everybody on the other side of your political view isn't necessarily evil. What we have to do is we have to learn to try to understand them, and hopefully they can understand us. The Christianity, as it is supposed to be, teaches us to look at ourselves from our adversary's perspective and to understand, and hopefully we can try to help them understand us. We're just in a very difficult times, but politics doesn't do that. Politics exacerbates the ad, we're better than them. And the closer you get to election, the worse it gets. And quite frankly, this is not going to get better until after the election. And then after the election, there will be a relative period of calm and a little bit of time that folks can come together and actually solve some problems before they start political hacks start fanning the flame for the next election. And it happens on all sides of the political equation.
Mike, you and I were talking about something during the break. And I think this is going to be a huge issue, the Monument Preservation Act, and that there's going to be a movement afoot in both chambers to do something about that, to change the law. You voted against it. You weren't for it. I mean, you talked about it being borderline idolatry, the way these monuments are being talked about. But I think the will seems to have gone, and we don't need to be micromanaging local governments and way they have monuments. And I get the preservation aspect of it, but this looks like it's going to be an immovable object and a bullet train coming at one another.
I will tell you, and I know your listeners don't know me very well. I've been a Republican a long time. I was part of trying to get Alabama to go Republican. I generally fall on the conservative side a lot of things, but I'm not a knee-jerk conservative by no stretch of the imagination. I hope my faith takes precedence over my politics, and I know the difference between a political issue and a policy issue and a moral issue. And this particular issue has elements of all of it. From the point of view of the politics is the us versus them mentality, But the policy, as a matter of policy, on this Republican side, one of the general tenets that I like is the level of government the closer it is to the people. That is, the lower the level of government, the more decisions are made, the more likely that government will govern according to the desires of the governed, if that makes sense. Well, when this came up, I almost always vote with the caucus. I very seldom on matters of policy. I was elected as a Republican, but on this, I knew I had problems with this bill. I had problems with this bill because we created a state entity to micromanage what these cities and counties and other entity, and even I guess maybe it might even apply to private folks, but it was a huge expansion of state authority on stuff that we didn't have any business imposing state authority on. This whole monument thing, it started cranking up. I mean, it's national, but in Alabama, there was a statue in, I think it's Lynn Park, which is a city park in Birmingham. And there's a Confederate statue, and a lot of these Confederate statues, fact is, they were put up during a time of that racism was socially acceptable in our society. And the governed majority, they put these monuments to they wanted to revere the Confederate heroes, and they had a right to do it. But there's been a political turnaround in Birmingham. They've had a lot of election, and they're liberal, and their government is more liberal, but this is not necessarily liberal conservative. Their government, the city government and the people of Birmingham, that statute is offensive to them. So their duly elected city government wanted to take it down. Well, the state, we hurried up and we did this. We created this entity so that the local people couldn't do what they wanted about who they wanted to commemorate. What I'm saying, I just think it was a huge overstep. And so when this bill came up, I mean, I wanted to vote with the caucus, and quite frankly, I should have been speaking out in a caucus meeting and speaking out to my colleagues. But as a general rule, I don't like to when these political games start being played. I generally just kind of back out and let them play it out and stay out of the way.
Wasn't that what was going on there? That there was an election on the horizon, and Governor Ivey even used it in one of her campaign ads, the Monument Preservation Act. Was this just a get out the vote effort at the time? But let me ask you this: is it too late to kind of correct the record?
No, listen, the legislature imposed law. Here's what it takes. And even to me, having this kind of reverence toward these heroes and our hero, it was just creeping pretty close to idolatry for me as a personal moral conscience. I just couldn't. I mean, I'm not against any. I'm not commemorating, but it was just to the point where these things became sacred to folks, and they shouldn't be sacred to folks. That's idolatry to me. But what happens is a lot of times our idols turn into these political idols that our team gathers around, and the other team has them that they gather around. And what happens is that's what creates a lot of these conflicts that stand in our way, that keep us from working together and being who we should be. And this bill was sticking our thumb in the face of the other side, saying, no, you're not going to be able to take down our idols and put your idols up. I mean, for me, I see biblical parallels in what's going on, and I don't. And here's the only way to defuse this. And here's what happens: people on all sides have got to get down there in that legislature, and they got to humble themselves, and they have to look at themselves objectively, not from within the context of my guys versus your guys, but look in a bigger picture of what this really is. And if people will humble themselves, we need to repeal this law, or at least modify it where it's not such an intrusion. What I'm saying is, politics is about one group of people shoving their ideas down somebody else's throat. And there's a certain amount that's necessary to put structure in a society. But if you get too much, and if one side gets too powerful and shoves too much down throats of people that believe differently, then you get conflict. That's what drives politics. But this should be repealed.
But I don't know whether
folks can humble themselves enough to say, and it requires folks to say, you know what, we didn't see this, we do now. You know, in the Bible, we call that repentance. But everybody wants the other side to repent, but folks don't look at themselves enough, and we should all look at ourselves.
Well, I'm kind of assuming here that somebody from the Democrat caucus is going to propose this. And then it becomes a situation where maybe you pick up some you're definitely gonna pick up media attention from this, and then it's gonna be that. It's gonna be nationalized. Everyone's gonna be looking at it, and there's going to be forces that push this in another direction.
Let me tell you something. It doesn't take one bit of courage to criticize the other side and what they did. Of course they will. Of course the Democrats will, because this is part of their platform. And you know what? We were wrong. And for them to say we are wrong, that's what they're going to do. It would take a lot of courage on their part to look at some of the things they do and say, you know what? We've been wrong about this, and our people need to correct it. This was a mistake Republicans made, and I think Republicans should have the courage to admit it and correct it.
Hey, Mike, we're going to take a quick break here, and okay. We'll pick it up on the other side.
Sure thing.
This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Show on FM Talk 106.5. Still to come on the program, Baldwin County Sheriff Huey Osmack will be with us. We'll also have Congressman Mo Brooks joining us on the program. So you'll want to stay tuned for that. But still with us, State Representative Mike Ball from up in Madison, my old stomping ground, a former regular on my old program. Mike, you got your guitar out. I wanted you to play something for this audience. I think they'll get a kick out of it. Get us warmed up here.
Okay, well, I play country music, and one of the songs I like is Third Rate Romance. It's kind of a trashy song about an affair, and I was playing it back during the last 4 years when the Bentley scandal was going on, and I decided to substitute that second verse for a little bit, a story based on the recording that came out with the former governor, and his assistant. So you want me to do a little bit of that?
Yeah, give us a shot here for us.
Sitting in a tiny table in a ritzy restaurant, she was staring at her coffee cup, trying to keep her courage up by applying booze. Talk was small, and when they talked at all, they both knew what they wanted. They were no need to talk about it. She was old enough to start without it and keep it cool. And she said, "You don't look like my type, but I guess you'll do." Third Rate Romance, no red rendezvous. And he said, "I'll even tell you that I love you if you want me to." Third Rate Romance, no red rendezvous. Well, they were hanging around that big old office over governor's suite. She was searching for a place to meet where they could both be discreet. They needed locks on the door. Well, he rose from his chair when he saw her standing there. He approached from behind, and he began to caress, rubbing all over her breast. I guess it blew his mind. And she said, "Don't you know this makes you look like a fool?" Third Rate Romance, no red rendezvous. And he says, "I don't care, 'cause my campaigning days are through." Third Rate Romance, no red rendezvous. Third Rate Romance, no red rendezvous.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. State opposite of Mike Paul. I wonder what kind of reaction that'll get. It always cracks me up, though, when I have that on my show Facebook page. But that's some good Alabama political folklore right there.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it will. That whole saga, it was misunderstood, misreported, and I'm just hoping that one of these days, you know, there was a lawsuit that got settled, and
right.
I just wish that people could understand what really happened and why it happened and what we can do to prevent it. And quite frankly, I'm gonna spend the next year or so working on that.
All right, we got to get out of here, Mike. As always, thanks for joining us. This is FM Talk 106.5.